Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to podcast number 134 of Strength for Today's Pastor. We're going to be talking about avoiding pastoral burnout. So a little bit of background. I've been to a lot of pastors' conferences where a well-meaning speaker, trying to encourage his listeners to endure and hang in there through the difficulties of ministry and life in the ministry, would say of himself, and this is a statement that he would make to the crowd, "I'd rather burn out than rust out." Well, I'm going to give the speakers the benefit of the doubt that they may have meant, "I'd rather be on fire for the Lord to the end instead of getting old and useless." But let's talk about that phrase all by itself, "I'd rather burn out than rust out." Hey, let's be honest. Many of us over the years have worn that phrase as a badge of honor, as though it's an honorable thing to burn out for God. But today, unfortunately, that phrase is a painful one because too many of our brothers in arms, our fellow pastors, have opted out of ministry. They say, "I'm done. This isn't what I signed up for." Or they've given up on ministry. They've been discouraged or just inundated by stress that has debilitated them in some way or another. Or they've been chased out of ministry, perhaps due to their own choices, maybe an ethical, maybe a moral failure. There's an article in the Barna Group study recently that found that 38% of pastors are seriously considering leaving full-time ministry. We at Poimen Ministries, as well as the greater body of Christ, we see this trend as tragic. 38% of pastors seriously considering leaving full-time ministry? And it's part of a greater problem in today's church. There are the obvious expectations that people put on their pastors. And sometimes pastors put on horrible and way too weighty expectations on themselves. These can be debilitating. One website puts it this way: everywhere pastors go, they're expected to be on, ready to give stellar leadership, unending compassion, an inspiring message, anointed prayer, and words of encouragement. And when a pastor internalizes these things, they're headed towards discouragement and maybe even burnout. But are there only two options? Are the only two options burnout or rust out? Is it inevitable that a pastor burn out in the ministry as is happening so commonly today? And if I don't experiencing burnout, does that mean that I'm rusting out? And the answer is no. There are not only two options. There is a third option, which is to learn a life that is lived under the grace of God with the right pace and for the correct race. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. We're going to be talking about the life-giving counsel that will enable us as pastors to avoid burnout. And it comes from the Bible, of course, and from the Spirit, but also from a book that we who are in this podcast interview have all read. It's written out of the true story of the author, Pastor Wayne Cordero. Wayne was the founding pastor of Hope Chapel. His church was in Oahu, Hawaii, and was a mega church, and many other churches were born out of that church. But this book is his story, and it's entitled Leading on Empty, Refilling Your Tank, and Renewing Your Passion. So I'm joined today by two wonderful pastor friends, teammates of mine with Poimen Ministries that are going to be helping me in this conversation, Trip Kimball and Terry McNabb. Trip is a longtime pastor teacher. He's an author, equipper, and discipler. And Terry's also a longtime pastor teacher, musician, and leadership coach, also on the team of Poimen Ministries. Terry and Trip have been with us for years, and you can learn more about them on our ministry website. But I just want to say to you guys, thanks so much, Trip and Terry, for joining the program. Welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. This is amazing to talk about this.
Well, I'm glad we are, and I'm glad you're joining us. So I just finished reading Cordero's book myself. I had it on my bookshelf for a couple of years. I'm blessed by what Wayne Cordero has written. I wish I had this when I started ministry. I wish I would have been willing to look for something like this when I started in the ministry. I didn't know of any resources that were around back in that day when my ministry started in 1976. But this book, reading it, it taught me things. It reminded me of other things, and it's motivated me pretty strongly in areas of my own life moving forward. So now we're going to get into it, guys. Let's talk about this stuff. And in this, as we talk about it, we'll explain why we are recommending the book Leading on Empty as a resource for every pastor, no matter where they are in their stage of life or their stage of ministry, something to read, and not just read, but ponder. When I read it out loud. I read it as a precursor to my morning devotions, and I prayed through the things that I was reading and journaled about some of them. I think that it's such a helpful resource. So Tripp, again, welcome to the program, and I'd like you to just go first and just tell us one of your thoughts. What way did this book impact you?
Well, it was interesting as I began reading, because I'm a writer, I looked at the foreword, the intro, and all that stuff. And one of the things that struck me just even before I got into the book was how he said that during the time of this he calls it a winter, a season of life, it was his internal disciplines that had kept him able to weather the storm. And that really resonates with me a lot. Then he also shared a situation where he was offered an opportunity to have a scholarship to go study further. And it created a break for him where he could process things a little bit more and dig in. And I really resonated with me. In particular, I remember early on in my pastorate, just felt burdened, and I felt like the Lord put me on a forced 3-week sabbatical. It wasn't really, I mean, I called it a sabbatical, but it was a 3-week break. And during that 3 weeks, the Lord just hammered me about time management, about my time with Him, and just the need to reorient my week. And so a lot of the stuff that I saw in the book and the things that he talks about later on are things that I realized were the very things that God had put in my heart to do. And so those internal disciplines helped me over the years. And so that really resonated with me a lot.
That's cool. You know, and you saying that, you know, we have these struggles, we have these issues, and somebody who's thinking about reading this book might think, well, what could a mega church pastor, successful, who has planted tons of churches, had a long, successful ministry life and career, what does he have to say about leading on empty? Well, I forgot to tell you that part of the story. He came to a crash and burn place in his life, and it was really right. Crucial and really critical for him. And that led him into an inquiry, a discovery, and a process, and a time of healing and growth. And that really is what the book is about and the story that he tells. But yeah, that's great. I can relate to what you're saying, Tripp. So Terry, how about you?
Well, this book was really important to me because it was recommended to me at a time when I was really tired. And it just helped me understand why I was so tired. And I was like many young men years ago, 30 years ago plus, when I started the ministry, this incredibly intense, sincere desire to do something great for the Lord. And I'm going to give all that I have to it. And over the years, I would see seasons of real fatigue. And I didn't learn necessarily how to manage that fatigue. Or often whenever I was fatigued or discouraged, I didn't know why I was so discouraged, because I would think, well, I'm praying hard. I'm studying the word. I love the people. I'm depending on the Lord. And I look back and I realize now that how easily that can be a legalism. If I pray hard enough, if I have enough faith, then I'll be exempt from this fatigue or discouragement. And this Wayne's book just helped me to understand sometimes the fatigue is because things are out of balance, but sometimes there's a fatigue because you're expending yourself for the lives of other people. You're really giving yourself, and there's nothing wrong with you. And it can feel like, you know, something's really spiritually wrong with you, when maybe you're tired because you've been running the race, and that's okay. But we do want to understand it's not just spiritual. Wayne really did a great job of understanding the physical, emotional demands of ministry, and just how to balance things out so that we can be a little more protected from that fatigue that comes along in the ministry. So I recommend this book to a lot of pastors as well, who seem to fall into the same pattern of they're tired and they think something's wrong with them.
I love what you shared, Terry. You've presented much of the heart of Wayne's book. And I love what you said, Tripp, too, because the underpinning of even what Wayne is sharing in the book is the strong personal devotional ongoing connection he has with the Lord through prayer and in the Word of God. So we got a good start going on here. I appreciate that. So I'll chip in a little bit. I loved what he had to say about Sabbath. And, you know, he talked about a weekly Sabbath, which would be a day off on whatever day works. And I loved about his observation of the Jewish people that he knows, and they would take a whole day prior to Shabbat to just prepare for it. They'd get their lawn mowed, they'd get their car washed, they'd get their house clean. So when the Sabbath day actually came, they could just do 24 hours of nothing but rest. And so what really, he pointed out in the book, it amounts to is 2 days off. And boy, that would almost be heretical for some pastor to hear that you should build into your schedule 2 unprotected days off. But why not? You know, that was kind of what happened with the 6-in-1 pattern of the Jewish people. But then, of course, that led into a discussion about a sabbatical, which is also a hotly debated issue with churches. And a sabbatical, he recommends, should be mandatory on the part of church boards toward their pastor, that after 7 years of service, take 3 months off to rejuice, revitalize, re-strengthen. And I love that. And he even offered practical suggestions for the way a church could do that. One of those suggestions was create a savings plan during those 7 years so that when the 7 year is up and the 3 month sabbatical starts, you can afford doing that with your pastor. I thought that was great. That impressed me wonderfully.
Absolutely. I want to kind of go back to the issue of the expectations that churches have of people, of the pastors, I mean, and then the pastor has of himself. Because I think that's a real critical thing. Wayne really digs into this at the beginning where he talks about just the odds. He calls it against all odds. And I was thinking about how, I had people who would, if I wasn't at the office when they came by, they complained about that. If I was out visiting someone at the hospital or a home visit, they complained that I wasn't at the office. And anything that was outside of the church, you know, in terms of engaging the community, they complained about that. And I did a fair amount of that. I had breakfast earlier with a guy, and I was just sharing with him some of the things. And he says, really, that happens in a church? I said, yeah, you know, it's like this stuff happens. And I think that so many of the expectations, they're just so unrealistic. And they're also unreasonable. And that's that people put on to a pastor and that the pastor puts on himself. We're not the savior. We're just the messenger. We're just the under shepherd. And yet I think, especially in American culture, but I know it's not just American culture because I've seen it in other cultures. We put the pastor up on a pedestal, and it reminds me of the old game we used to play at the beach, where you put a popsicle stick at a mound, and then you cut away until the the stick fell, and whoever made the stick fell, they lost the game. And sometimes I felt like that's what was happening, is they cut away. And then when something happened, they say, see, you know, it's like, you are fallible. And it's like, yeah, of course, you know, I'm human. But I think that a lot of times, if it's not just the church and the people in the church or the community, whatever, we put that on ourselves, and you can't live under that burden.
Well said.
Yeah.
We have to fight that. Pastors have to fight that and be proactive in that. That's great.
Yeah, I think he talked also about in relationship. He talked about what's a concern and what's a responsibility, and I think that's a big issue. Are we responding to concerns that others have, that we might have? Or is this really a responsibility that the Lord has given us?
And usually those expectations that come from people, some of them are perceived expectations, some of them are real expectations, some of them have been verbalized or written expectations, but the number of people that actually have those expectations is relatively small compared to the number of people that there are in the church that are as pleased as punch with everything the pastor's doing and don't have any expectations at all. So, you know, it's the voices of the really, really small minority oftentimes that prevail in our hearts, and we have to not let that happen.
That's right.
So, Terry.
Well, in this area of sabbatical, to me, it connects to a few issues, because if I get a pastor who is in this place of really tired, discouraged, I have learned that one of my first questions is not just, are you praying? Not, are you reading your Bible? But I'll ask, when was the last time you had a Sunday off? Because I know pastors are not very good at resting, period. They work 7 days a week, maybe take one day off. And even that day is Saturday. They're thinking about Sunday. Maybe they take Monday off, but they're so tired, they're no good to anybody. And so you'd be surprised how many pastors take maybe 2 Sundays off a year, and one of those was going to a conference somewhere. Yeah. So I find kind of 2-3 related issues. One, they're not resting. Second, they say, well, even if I do miss, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to fill in for me. And so to me, we're talking about rest, which is so important at staying fresh in ministry. But a related issue is learning how to share the ministry and trusting other people and equipping other people. And surprisingly, we get tired and then we lose the capacity, the bandwidth to train a Timothy. And I think every pastor should have 2 or 3 Timothys in the church. And you let the whole church in on the plan, that our job is to equipping others for ministry. And I'm going to take a Sunday off, maybe every couple of months or whatever it is. And I'm going to give these other young men an opportunity to preach. And it will really, when you have a plan and you communicate that to the whole church, it really excites everybody. It's not this sense, well, I'm leaving and where did the pastor go? Mm-hmm. It just expands the ministry for a pastor to equip others and then take time off. And then, you know, I just find I'm more rested. We've talked a lot about in our ministry about staying to within our own lane, stay your own lane, an old saying. But when I get outside of my own calling, I don't really have the strength for it. And if I can just stay in what the Lord has given me to do and then ask for help from other people, I just generally stay more at ease and rested. And the ministry is more enjoyable rather than exhausting. And Wayne talks about that.
Yeah, he does. He does talk about it. And that's great. It reminds me of Ron Ritchie, who used to be Ray Steadman's associate pastor at Peninsula Bible Church back in those days. And he writes about one time he didn't have time to attend to all the voicemails, emails, text messages, and all the things that were coming at him that seemed like emergencies that he needed to address. And he had committed to a long weekend plus a couple of days to be away with his wife. And so he made a decision. to do an experiment. I'm just going to see what happens if I don't answer any of the voicemails, any of the letters or anything. Just see what happens. But I'll follow up on him, but I'm going to wait until after we're back. So he waited until after they returned, and as he started digging into these responses, he realized that all of them had resolved themselves. And surprise, 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 apparently he wasn't needed because the Holy Spirit did it for him. Now, that's not to excuse, you know, pastoral diligence. You know, we need to be diligent, but the point is, you know, that when the pastor takes that fifth Sunday off or takes a sabbatical, boy, is he often surprised when it comes back that the church didn't fall apart. It's actually stronger in some cases than it was when he was there. And that's because it's the Holy Spirit's doing the work. Comments, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say an amen to that and to what Terry said earlier about training up younger guys. I see that as not just my opportunity, but my responsibility as an older, pastor, discipler. And we've talked about this before, and I've shared about it in another podcast, but we just are not discipling and equipping people within the body in the manner that we should. And when we put so much focus on the senior pastor, who a lot of times they don't want to leave because they're, I think some of it's born out of insecurity, like what you're talking about. Well, what if it all falls apart when I'm gone? And then when it doesn't, it's like, oh, I guess they don't really need me that much. And it's like the story of Elijah saying, you know, she's going to kill me and I'll be the last prophet. And the Lord says, I've got 7,000 men who touched your knee. And besides that, Elisha is going to be taken over for you after a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that is always our, you know, we talk about the next man up in sports. Well, it ought to be that way in the church, not next man so much, but next man, next woman in different roles of ministry, of course. But as a pastor, I should be having, like you said, a couple of Timothys, if not more. And it's something that has to be ongoing, not just for a spell, but on ongoing process, you know, like whether it's you call it a school of ministry or whether it's just in equippers classes, courses, that type of thing. And it should be built into whatever the church is doing. And it's a much healthier way to pastor, and it's a much healthier part. The church is going to be healthier because they're participating, as Ephesians 4:16 says, as each part does its, as each member is involved and engaged in doing their part within the body.
Yeah, when you, Tripp, and you, Terry, are talking about these things, the phrase keeps going through my mind. They're developing a culture of training and equipping.
Right,
and boy, isn't that important for senior pastors? In fact, the role of the pastor teacher is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ, as well as develop their next Timothy and so on and so forth. So it's a culture, and the senior pastor is the one that starts this culture by doing it himself. And to do that, oftentimes he's going to have to recuse himself from things that are lesser responsibilities and of lesser relative importance than the culture of training and equipping is, because that's his main squeeze.
Yes, absolutely. I think there is just some very simple mental shifts in how we're approaching ministry that make all the difference. And I found that they're very simple things. And just getting back to my calling, actually leading others and helping them get excited to find their own calling. And rather than feeling like it's all on me, now just communicate to the church, we're all doing this together. Let's all be co-laborers in the ministry. And I'll lead the way. I'll help you find your place. And I just found whenever I set that culture from the pulpit and tell the church, you're all recruited, we're all working together, then they get excited. Even if something doesn't go perfectly well, I'm going, look, we're going to have to try together, and it's okay. It's okay. And I just found there, I've just learned a few simple things that have really made the ministry just much more enjoyable than this obligation or this job I have to push uphill.
Well said. That's good.
You know, before we get into another little thing, I want to just kind of talk also about the whole thing of burnout, because a lot of times I think it's misunderstood. It can have lots of different titles to it, I guess, or whatever. And like, you know, people say, well, I'd rather burn out, or I'd rather rust out than, or burn out than, you know, than steady on or quit or whatever. Rest up. Yeah. And I think the thing that strikes me especially is how even the attitude about depression, and I think most of the time when we think people talk about depression, they think of clinical depression, which is a real severe type of depression. But a lot of people, and he brings this out, you know, like Spurgeon, Mother Teresa, Lincoln, a few others. A lot of times I think pastors don't even realize that they're in depression, and that, which is an indicator of their burnout level. And they don't want to say anything about it because that's a sign of weakness. And, you know, I don't want to admit that I'm not the strong person, you know, because I've got to have all the answers, or I've got to be Mr. Superman. And it is like so far off the line of what the Lord is. I mean, we see Jesus taking time away to pray especially before critical issues. We see him discipling, sending the men out two by two. In Luke, we see chapter 9, chapter 10, two different groups. We see even at the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he goes to the cross, that would be a picture of real stress and real a depression. You know, we might say, well, that's not depression. That's, you know, that's the Lord in prayer. When you're sweating drops of blood, mm-hmm. that is a sign of stress, and stress brings on depression. Mm-hmm. And the thing I how he brought it out, but I always visualize it as depression is like a whirlpool. When you're on the outside at the top of the whirlpool, you can grab a hold of something and pull yourself out, or someone can reach a hand out and pull you out. Mm-hmm. But once you start moving more and more towards the center, it goes faster and faster, and the vortex starts pulling you down. And by that time, nobody can pull you out, and you can't grab a hold of anything. So that the key is don't get to that point. You know, admit that you've got a need, and you got to find, I mean, you got to find people you trust as best friends, probably not even within the church, because a lot of times that may shake people. So, you know, it could be another pastor. It could be just another mentor outside of the church. I mean, I've had several people that have been that way for me, you know, been mentors, good friends that I can call, I can talk to, and they kind of, in a sense, talk me off the ledge, so to speak, or encourage me, or sometimes kick me in the rear when I needed that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a great point, and all of those points are great points. I'm thinking of the tendency we all have to think that we're the only ones going through this. And yeah. I had a situation just this week where I was going through something that was personal, and I shared what I was going through with a couple of friends, new friends actually, that were safe. And they related a little bit of their own experience in just a couple of sentences in a text message. And I realized that they had gone through it, and probably many, many other people had gone through it as well. It was greatly encouraging. But with the subject of burnout, there are so many pastors that are confessing symptoms of burnout or actual burnout that it's easy to be able to share it now, or it should be, because we're not alone, and we definitely need to find that kind of help. So one of my points that my second point that I really liked about this book is the section about how we live our lives, the four courses of lives. Most people live a life of reaction, Wayne writes, which is, we stay on a certain course until something forces us to change direction. Some live a life of conformity. We live by the approval and expectations of the crowd. Some live lives of independence. which is the illusion of autonomy, he says, like that's even a thing that can work. And then a life of intentionality, which is planned investment in areas like marriage, health, diet, relationships, schedule. And these planned intentional changes are made commensurate with each new seasons of life. And I just thought from that, you know, I'm at a place now where I really need to be more intentional than ever in terms of how, what does the next 10 years of my life look like? You know, what do I want my marriage to be? What kind of a person do I want to be as those 10 years go by? And that was really encouraging and vision forming in my mind. Well, anyway, let's move on. I've been talking a lot here. That's not uncommon for me. But we each have a minute now just to kind of wrap up our thoughts and with regard to helping to safeguard ourselves against the dangers of burnout, maybe even if somebody listening to this is actually in a process of depression or burnout, something that you'd like to share with those listening. Terry, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Great, great. Well, Bill, you talked about being intentional, and that's where Wayne gets toward the end of the book and chapter 10. And I say, if a pastor is in this place of just being fatigued, then I just recommend he gets back to his first love, not just his first love for the Lord, but also his first love for what the Lord gave him to do, what he was excited to do in the ministry. And just get back, and that's where your strength is. That's where the fruit of your ministry is. And in the areas of the church that you're not strong at, learn to ask for help. And then thirdly, learn to rest and make a plan for when you're going to rest. And don't just wait for a good time, because it's never a good time.
Okay, those are wise words. Thank you so much. Trip.
Yeah, I'll just tag on to what Terry said there at the end, especially. In his, on page 70, it says, solitude is a chosen separation for refining your soul. Isolation is what you crave when you neglect the first. That is solitude. And when I think of solitude, I think especially in application today, turning off the phone, setting aside the computer, the iPad, the whatever it is you got, and just unplugging and spending time to listen for the Lord, because we've already got so many voices. You know, it's like we don't need to listen to the radio. We don't need to listen to another podcast except for this one. And then we need to just kind of unplug, just like we see Jesus doing, and to get that solitude with the Lord himself, and so that we don't get to that place of feeling isolated and separated from, you know, everybody in our life, including the church, our family, and so on. So, you know, just a little plug on that.
That's great. Amen. So I'll just go with what my brief comment is here, and that is I just would encourage pastors listening to this to get the book. Get the book, Leading on Empty by Wayne Cordero. Read it carefully and prayerfully. And I'll go back to my earlier statement. I wish I'd been given something like this earlier had I been open to it, of course. But nobody was talking about any of these things back in the early days of the Jesus movement. Jesus was coming for his church in the rapture. Burnout wasn't a subject that we even addressed. But it is a subject today. So don't burn out, Pastor. And it is largely up to you. You can make choices. And, of course, don't rust out. You're going to be viable until the day you breathe your last breath if you allow the Holy Spirit to help you be viable. And if you're in trouble, reach out for help. There's no shame involved with this, no guilt involved to this. It's just time. It's just time to act. And so go for it. So I want to just give thanks to my friends, Pastor Trip Kimball and Pastor Terry McNabb, for your contributions. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me on this. This is helpful, so helpful.
Great. My privilege.
Thank you. This is mine as well. I just know this is going to be a big help to pastors and leaders.
And thank you all for joining us. And the book we've been talking about is called Leading on Empty by Wayne Cordero. We'd obviously love to have your feedback or questions, and would be honored, truly honored, to help you senior pastors in any way we can. So please respond by email or through the contact page of our website, Strength for Today's Pastor. God bless you, and until next episode, may the Lord be with you in Jesus' name.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poynman Ministries. You can find us at poynmanministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N, ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.